This is a lecture given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website, stdave.org.
Okay, so I want to go ahead and get started. And I think we'll have some others to the 9 o'clock service who will join us. But I want to be sure to maximize our time and hear everything that Rob has to share with us today. So our speaker is Rob Fabian. So he's the Chief Community Engagement Officer for Page of Central Texas, and I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more from him about that organization. It's a regional nonprofit organization that serves older adults and family caregivers. Rob's been assisting numerous Central Texas nonprofit organizations for more than 35 years by helping shape their strategic plans, marketing and outreach efforts, client services, and media relations. He's been an active presence with many regional organizations, including the Reich House Wellness Center, Project Transitions, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Zach Theater, the American Heart Association, Out Youth, Capital City Men's Chorus, Mock Center, Texas Performing Arts, AIDS Services of Austin, YWCA Austin, and many more. He has 35 plus years of experience in nonprofit management and marketing, and is an award-winning journalist and advertising professional. And many talents and interests and passions. He sits on the board of directors for the Live Parks Center, Tabor, and is vice president of the Senior Task Force on Aging for the City of New York, and serves on the Aging Advisory Council of the Capital Area Council of Governments as the interim chair for Seniors and Law Together. So is the happening. And he chairs the annual HIV and Aging Conference. Rob is also a professional entertainer who has sung and danced on Broadway, been seen in dozens of feature films and television shows, and MC'd some of Austin's biggest annual fundraising events. So, without further ado, Rob, would you just share with us your work with Age of Central Texas?
Thank you so very much. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, I love that. I don't want this to be a lecture. I want it to be a discussion. So if you have questions, comments as we go, please, let's have a lovely conversation. So excited to be back here at the church. We used to do our HIV and Aging Conference right here in this very room. And this year is going to be our 12th anniversary. It'll be on World AIDS Day. We've actually grown too big to fit here anymore. So we're going to be over at Norris Conference Center. So I've always loved coming here. We lived downtown for 25 odd years and spent a lot of time walking around this area. So great to be back. My name is Rob. I'm with Age of Central Texas. We're a regional nonprofit organization, homegrown right here in Austin, been around almost 40 years. And we were created to serve older adults and family caregivers. We help older adults be able to age in place successfully so that they can continue to live in their homes by giving them the tools they need to stay safe, stay mobile, and stay connected in the community. We also, our founders, were very forward-thinking, knowing that in order to support our older family members, we have to take care of the caregivers because we're the ones doing the heavy lifting. I take care of my mom and dad. They live independently in Round Rock, but they do so because we go take care of them all the time and give them the tools they need so they can stay in their home as long as it's safe for them to continue to do so. So if you've got comments, questions about your caregiving journeys, throw those out there because I'd love to have those comments. About 10 years ago, our board of directors realized that all the studies coming out were saying that not only was Austin one of the fastest growing areas in the nation for older adults, but we were very rapidly becoming one of the places where all of the older adults were coming to live. And we needed to get ahead of the curve, or we were always going to be playing catch up. So we embarked on a massive capital campaign to build 3 regional centers around Central Texas where we could best serve older adults and family caregivers. We have a historic campus over in Hyde Park, which has been our home for the past 40 years. But we realized that even 5 years ago, we didn't have any older adults living around us anymore. Everybody's moved out. So although we don't want to go chasing need, that's not a good business model, we definitely needed to be where the folks who needed our services were located. So we embarked on this journey of being able to build and open these centers. Our first one is just completed. It's going to be in South Park Meadows. We're going to talk about it in just a few minutes. But before we could get there, we had some growing to do as an organization. You know, we weren't ready to raise $10 million to build a brand new center. And we realized at that time, 10 years ago, not that many people knew that we existed, even though we've been around for 30 years. So we embarked on our first phase, which was our growth and our visibility. When we got ready to start the actual fundraising of the campaign, we decided we better do our homework. So we got a third-party company to do some research for us. We wanted to know, what do folks in Central Texas really know about aging and caregiving? We had been polling folks from the four counties of Travis, Williamson, Hays, and Bastrop counties, ages 18 and over. I think the oldest respondent was 104. All walks of life, all demographics, all through the geography. What do you really know about aging and caregiving? That's what I want to share with you this morning. Two things really stood out to us that really surprised us. One is that most people do not realize that we are the fastest growing area in the nation for older adults, 50 years old to 64, and the second fastest growing in the nation for those who are 65 and older. Put those two things together. For the next 40 to 50 years, there are more older adults in Central Texas than any other demographic. In fact, right now, there are more older adults over the age of 80 than there are children five and younger. And that's going to keep continuing. We were talking just a few minutes ago about what's happening in our surrounding areas. Now, I mentioned there are really no older adults living in Hyde Park anymore. There's very few left in East Austin. Where they all gone? Out to the sides. You look out at East Williamson County, out in the Taylor area. They are moving up out there with older adults because that's where people are going because they can't afford to live in this area anymore. You look down in Kyle and in Buna. The number of older adults in that area is going to double in the next 5 years. Out in Fayette and in Lee County, triple in the next 5 years because people can't afford to live here. I mean, if you got your tax bills, you know what I'm talking about. That's why we moved from being living downtown, even though we had been there for 30-something years and we were grandfathered in at our apartment. I realized I could buy a house for the same amount that I was paying for our rent. And so we moved out to Moener. About 9 years ago, when we moved out there, there were only about 4,000 people in the whole area. There are currently about 50,000. That's how fast it's growing. And 40-odd percent of them are older adults out there. The other thing that really surprised us, and we'll talk about this in a minute as well, we asked, is there an organization in your area that serves older adults? About 95% said, oh, sure, yeah, there is. We went, okay, name one. They went, okay, you got me, I have no idea. Most people could not name one organization that serves their older community. And we'll talk about why in just a few minutes. When we asked general public, what are your concerns about growing older here in Central Texas? No surprise. Being forced out of their home. We just can't afford to live here anymore. When you think about the cost of living here, it's just gone through the roof. You may own your home, but can you afford the taxes that keep going up? And especially if you're on a fixed income. I mean, if Social Security is your main income, it hasn't really gone up much, has it? But your taxes have. Cost of food has. Cost of utilities certainly have. So, three out of four are worried about being able to stay in our home. And then if we keep our home, if we sell our home, and I've got this little pot of money from selling the home, where can I move with this money? You know, so that's a big concern. We're worried about being able to pay their taxes and worried about running out of money. even before the pandemic, this was a huge concern. The Austin Business Journal did a story right before the pandemic and said, if you retired in Austin with $1 million in cash and lived frugally, how long could you live on that money? 9 years. Okay. We retire at 64. We get to 73 and we run out of money. And we still got another 25, 30 years to go. What do I do? And who retires with $1 million in cash? So, legitimate concerns. Other concerns of folks not having their family nearby. Austin is one of the largest populations of solo agers. That's folks that are aging without a family near them. You think about everybody that moved here in the 80s and 90s for their jobs at Dell and the tech field. The kids graduated, they're gone, spouse may have passed away, and all their family are back in Minnesota, wherever they moved from. They're here by themselves. And so as they age and start having complications with aging, if they haven't built a community around them of support, it's going to be a problem. We saw that during COVID very heavily, of a lot of people who were already isolated to start with, and here comes a pandemic where everything shuts down and they can't go to the grocery store, they can't go to the doctor, they don't have anybody nearby that can come check on them and take care of them. We had lots and lots of calls of people saying, hi, I'm in Lubbock and mom lives there. Is there anybody who can just go check on her? Because we've got so many people who are living here by themselves without a support system. Access to transportation, access to food and hospitals. You look out at East Austin. I was just out at the Central Health, built a brand new, beautiful clinic out in Hornsby Bend, which is just right over on the edge. 95% of the folks they serve are older adults. 3,000 patients in that immediate area of Hornsby Bend, older adults. No grocery store. No transportation. They're the only clinic out there, and they just opened. So, you know, we see these pockets of desert all over the place. You look at Hutto. Hutto is the fastest growing town per capita in the nation of seniors in poverty, because that's where they can find a place to live. They can get an apartment out there. No grocery store. Drive a senior doesn't serve it. Metro doesn't serve it. They just got a Baylor Scott & White clinic. What do you do if your main doctor is in Georgetown and you live in Hutto and you don't drive? So these are real concerns. And being able to stay in my home as I grow older. I mentioned my mom and dad. Their home was built in 1980. It was not built for them to age into. I don't think anybody's home was built for them to age into. Dad had a brain bleed stroke 4 years ago, and our caregiving journey changed drastically. And one of our big concerns is that the house was not built for him to move around in with his rollator, for him to even get to the bathroom. So we've had to adapt the house as we go, as that journey keeps changing. Other concerns, physical decline, sure. Mental decline, of course. Loss of independence, you know, I mentioned my dad. You know, we had to convince him to stop driving, which is a difficult thing to do. Dad's a car guy. He owns a classic Corvette. Yeah, trying to convince someone like that to stop driving, it's because his reaction time was not good anymore. I was terrified of him running with one of the kids in the neighborhood. That's a major loss of independence of not having that transportation. So who has to pick up the slack? The caregiver, of course. Memory loss, that's always a huge concern for folks. We, especially during COVID, one of the few bright spots out of COVID was that it really shined a light on caregiving and on older adults. And it really brought to the forefront how much we are lacking in care the older population, and in particular when it comes to memory care and dementia. And so that's what we do and what we're talking about in a few minutes. But, you know, that's a concern. And being a burden on the family, people are really worried about, I don't want to put all of this pressure on my kids and my wife as I grow older. So, again, nothing real surprising here. When we talked about caregiving itself, we asked, are you now, or do you think in the immediate future, you're going to be a caregiver? The answer surprised us in a good way. About 40% said, yes, I am, or I know I'm going to be the caregiver. That's actually correct. 40% of the population is caring for an older loved one. So that means we've done something right in getting the message out that people actually do in this area identify when they become a caregiver. That's very unique because most people who are caregivers do not identify as being a caregiver. They think, unless I've got mom living with me 24/7 and I had to quit my job, and this is all I do is take care of mom, then I'm a caregiver. Well, my mom and dad live in Round Rock still by themselves. I go and take dad to the doctor. We help them with their telemed. When mom can't get on the computer because she locked herself out again, when the phone won't work because, you know, I don't know how this thing works, please come fix it. You know, am I a caregiver? Absolutely. 100%. Is mom and dad living with me? No. But am I still their caregiver? You bet I am. So we've done a good job on that. Of course, the flip side of that coin is 42% said, oh, I'm never going to be a caregiver. Surprise, surprise. Yes, you will. Rosalind Carter, when she and Jimmy left the White House, she created the Carter Institute for Caregiving in Georgia. She has a very famous saying that says that there are four kinds of people in the world. There are people who are caregivers, who have been caregivers, who will be caregivers, and people being cared for. And that's very true. You know, we think about it. If we have children, we're caregivers. Have a spouse or partner, they get sick, we're caregivers. Some of us become caregivers for our parents or our loved ones, and our journey is a little more extended. But at some point in all of our life, all of us will be caregivers and all of us will be cared for. I go and speak at the St. Stephen's School every year and go and talk to their elementary school students about aging. Yeah. First time I went, I go, what am I going to talk about that the kids are going to understand? Because, you know, they think their parents are old and their parents are 30. So what can I do that kind of resonates? And what I went on is I asked them, okay, how many of you, when you get to high school, you're going to take driver's ed, you're going to learn how to drive a car and get your driver's license? How many of you do that? All their hands go up. I go, okay, now, how many of you, when you get to age, are going to have your parents move into your home and you're going to take care of them for the rest of their lives? How many of you can do that? And then their hands go up. And I say, okay, here's the reality. For every person out there who's driving a car, that's how many people are helping take care of another person. The difference is you learn to drive a car, but no one ever teaches you how to be a caregiver. And that's what we do. And then the light bulbs go off and they may ask the most brilliant questions. But that's true. No one ever teaches us how to do this, even though it's going to be a part of our lives. And so, as I mentioned, our founders were really forward thinking, knowing that we have to provide that service to the community, because all of us at some point are going to be in that boat. Well, we ask caregivers themselves, what are some of your specific concerns? Physical and mental decline of the person they're caring for. No big surprise there. As the journey changes, the ability to care for the person changes. And it's worrisome of thinking about taking care of my dad when I have no training in how to take care of my dad. No one taught me how to pick up a 200-pound man off the floor when he falls. So, you know, that makes complete sense. What about memory loss? You know, that's a big change in your journey. I've got some really good friends that cared for the mom and dad at their home. to the point where mom and dad no longer knew who they were. They just didn't know that it was the son. Just thought it was this nice guy that came over and helped them, not knowing that they were living in his house. That's hard. That hurts when your mom no longer knows who you are. That's why I always call dementia the death that happens twice. And, you know, knowing that it's coming doesn't make it any easier when it actually happens. And again, the loss of independence. As a caregiver, that changes your whole world. Now you're the chauffeur, you're the medic, you're the in-home care. And it really upends your life as well. When we ask caregivers, what about yourself? What are some of your concerns about you being a caregiver? No surprise, depression, stress, making good choices for the person that you care for. They always tell caregivers there's no right answer, no wrong answer when it comes to caregiving. You make the choice that you make with the information that you have at hand at the time. You don't look back 2 years later and go, oh gosh, I wish I had. No, you didn't know then. You're in a high stress situation having to make decisions on the fly. You gather the information and you keep moving forward. That was the right answer. Their own personal health. We know during COVID, 95% of caregivers did not go to the doctor at all for 3 years. Most caregivers don't. They just don't have time. I don't know when I'm going to do it. I'm too busy taking care of mom. I don't have time to go have my own checkup. And that's one thing that we talk about to caregivers all the time. You have to put yourself first. It's the old adage, put your oxygen mask on first. You are not being selfish. You're being realistic. I'm the only one taking care of mom and dad. If I go down, who's going to take care of mom and dad? I have to take care of me so that I can take care of them. I have to carve that time out for me so that I recharge my battery. Because caregiver burnout is a real thing, and it happens very often. I go to the gym 3 times a week. I convinced everyone at the gym that I'm deaf, so they will leave me alone. That is my time. Don't talk to me. Don't bug me. Don't bother me. I'm going to work out to recharge my battery. Leave me alone. Put it on my calendar. I'm going to the gym so that it is there so I know that's what I'm going to do. You have to do that as a caregiver. It's absolutely vital for you. Another thing about that, statistically, 30% of all caregivers pass away before the person they're caring for if they don't take care of themselves, if they don't find their own time. When the caregiver becomes 70 or older, 80% of them will die. You think about all these folks that are living out in East Wilco on the ranch where the wife is taking care of the husband who has dementia and doing it by herself because there's no kids around, there's no family around. I promise for better or worse, and this is the worst, and I'll just muscle through it. No, what happens when she passes away? Nobody knows that he's there. And this is realistic. This is what's happening. And then worry about their finances. When folks start looking at in-home health care, moving to communities, the cost of the health care, they get sticker shock. If you haven't looked at how much it costs to live in a community, it may surprise you at how expensive it is. And most people have not planned for that. On top of that, most of us are going to live much longer than we ever figured we would. So let's take mom and dad again as an example. When they started working in the 50s, the average lifespan, 65, if you got to 70, you did good. All right, so you're going to retire 65, probably live to 70, so I need to have about 5, maybe 10 years worth of savings to live to. All right, advancements in medicine. Get to 65. And you've got another 35 to 40 years to go that you did not plan for financially. Mom needed to have surgery on her back. Her legs were going to sleep while she was standing up, and she became a really fall risk. Went to the doctor. Doctor said, "Oh, well, your vertebrae are mashing on your spinal cord and on the nerves. That's what's happening. So we're just going to open it up and shave them down, all of that, and you'll be good to go." She went, "That sounds horrible. I don't want to do that. I'll be in the hospital for weeks and have to use a wheelchair and all that." They said, "Well, here's your alternative. If you don't, you're going to be permanently in a wheelchair in just a couple of years." And she's like, "Well, I mean, is it worth it? I mean, I'm already in my late 70s. And, you know, this was a few years ago, the doctor said, "Jen, you're going to live another 30 years. She went, "Really?" The whole procedure, we got there at 7. She went in. They were done by 7:30. She was in the hospital room. They kept her overnight just because she was on blood thinner. They wanted to make sure nothing was wrong. So I went home that evening, said, "I'll be back in the morning before they discharge you." She calls me at 7 and says, "I'm at home fixing breakfast." I went, "Excuse me?" Yeah, they came by at 6 and said, "Go home." I went, "Okay, I'm on my way over." She's cooking breakfast. And I'm like, "Are you okay?" She said, "Yeah, I'm just still a little woozy from the anesthetic, but other than that, I'm fine." Major surgery on her spine that they opened her up, and she could have gone home, other than the blood thinner, by lunch the day before. Dad had 4 cardiac surgeries last year in the span of 3 months. When they put in his heart valve and his pacemaker, they did it in the morning, and we were over at Garcia's eating migas by lunch. It's astounding what they can do medically now. So we have the opportunity to live so much longer than we did before. And we're going to live that much better. You know, if you can live to be 100, but you start developing dementia when you're in your 60s, is that such a great deal? If you had planned for retirement money to get you to 75, yet you end up living to 100, what happens? So, outliving your money is a real concern. So we see older adults who are spending all of their savings run out, and who has to step in? The kids. And they step in and start funding, keeping mom in the memory care, keeping the healthcare worker coming to the house, having to pay for the medical work that's being done. And they burn through all of their money, so now when they retire, they don't have anything for themselves. And now their kids are having to support them. And it's a vicious cycle that's going to keep going. So that is a very legitimate concern of running out of our money before we get to the end. I mentioned we had asked about, are there any programs that serve older adults? And most people went, "Yeah, I'm sure there are." And then we said, "No, no, maybe not." I had no earthly idea. You got me. And the ones that they could name, AARP and Meals on Wheels, floated to the top. Oh, yeah, of course. They're big national organizations, been around forever. They have billboards all up and down I-35 and commercials on TV. That makes sense. Churches came in number 3. Well, of course, churches have always been places of service to the community. Age was number 4. Yay, I've done my job. So that was good. Look who's not up here. The Alzheimer's Association. They better name them. Family Elder Care. They've been around as long as Angel Central Texas. They have the fan drive every year. They're just as big as we are. Nobody thought about them. And the Agencies on Aging. That's the path through many of the Old Americans Act. They're a major federal source of support. Nobody named them. So I started thinking, why? Why do people not know about the services in the community, especially ones that have been around since the 70s and 80s? Why don't people think of these as older adults or caregivers when they need? They don't know where to turn. And we realized it's because it's not top of mind. Unless you are deep in the trenches of needing the help, you don't know these places exist because you don't care. If you ask me to name an organization that serves newborn babies living in Utopia, I don't know one, because I don't have a newborn baby who's living with leukemia. In the same way, unless you're suddenly a caregiver taking care of mom and dad, you're not looking for caregiver resources. You're not paying attention to who's helping serve until suddenly you're in the middle of it and you're going, oh my gosh, I'm underwater and I need some help. And I don't even know where to start looking. I heard someone explain it one time as most caregivers don't know if they're knocking on the right door or if they're even in the right subdivision. And that's true because we don't know where to start looking for these things. We know something's wrong. We know you got a problem. We don't know how to solve it. We don't even know where to start. We don't know what questions to start asking for help. And that's why we're here. Finally, we asked about ageism. We asked, does ageism exist in Central Texas? And the vast majority said, oh, yes, it sure does. And we said, why? Said two reasons. Number one, the way that the media portrays older adults is always in a negative. They're the butt of the joke. You don't want to get older. Oh, crow's feet, give me this concern, make it go away. Gray hair showing up? No, nobody will see that. It's always a negative. And the other is that our major employers do not recognize, honor, and support their older employees, which is really dumb because that is all your historic knowledge of your company. So we kind of put our flag in the ground several years ago to really try to change this in Central Texas. We've been working with a lot of the major employers so that they understand that their older employees are their best employees, to understand that 40% of the employees are caregivers, and the majority of those are going to quit their jobs if you don't support them and give them help so that they can continue in their career and be able to take care of their loved one. So to give them the tools so that they can do that. But most importantly, working with our media. As mentioned, I was a journalist first, and so I've been a journalist for a number of years. And it kills me when I see a story on TV that says, the 64-year-old elderly man, no. Because I don't think a single person sitting in this room wants to be called elderly, do you? No. Mm-mm. And in fact, our current older population of those 65 and older is the most diverse population that has ever walked the face of the earth. That is an absolute fact. We're talking about 3 to 4 generations of people. Everything from the Eisenhower era, all the way up through Reaganomics to today. Woodstock, Vietnam War. You can't put all of them in one bucket and say, oh, they're all the same. Because they're not even close. So I've been working with our local media on how do we talk about aging? What are the right things we should say? I've also been working with those in our industry so that we can walk the walk ourselves. So very briefly, I'll show you what we've been telling everybody. Take them and use them if you would like. The word elderly. Yes, nobody wants to be called elderly. Nobody wants to be an elder. Nobody wants to be a senior citizen. All of them bring up connotations of coming apart and getting older and being frail and all of that. I know 90-year-olds that run marathons. And they put it in the paper. The 95-year-old, the weekend was just Tuesday. You know, no big deal. What do we say? We say older adult. All-encompassing, non-insulting, explains it all away. When we talk about a person who has a disease like dementia, they are not defined by their disease. They are a person who is living with a disease, living with cancer, living with dementia. And they're not a patient, they're a person. At our Thrive Social and Wellness Centers, We provide daytime care for older adults who are living with cognitive issues such as Alzheimer's and other types of dementia. We are not serving the dementia. We're serving the person. You know, we're not serving Bess's Alzheimer's. We are serving her smile. We're serving the fact that she used to be a fashion designer, although she doesn't remember it, but we do. And we bring that back out of her. We're not serving her wheelchair. We're serving her. And so when we talk about someone who has a disease, they are not defined by the disease. They're still a person. They're still living. In the same way, nursing home. The concept of nursing home does not exist anymore. Now, most of us I grew up in a small town. We had one place where everybody went retired, and it was the nursing home. And it was a one-size-fits-all. And when you talk about a nursing home, that's what people think of. Something built in the 50s with linoleum floors and flickering lights and everybody sitting around in their wheelchairs waiting to die. They don't exist anymore. If you've gone to look at these places, they look like cruise ships. They are amazing. And there's not a one-size-fits-all. You've got independent living. You've got continuum of care. You've got skilled nursing. You've got memory care. You've got assisted living. Divided up in services. So the concept of nursing home doesn't exist anymore. So let's stop talking about it, because when you say nursing home, people think of the negative, and nobody wants to go live in a nursing home. Even though most of us will need to move to a community at some point in our life so that we can continue to age successfully. When do you need to move to a community? When it's no longer safe to be in your home. That's it. If you're a fall risk and you're having falls at home and there's nobody to help you, you need to be somewhere where somebody can help you. Can't keep up with your meds? Move somewhere where someone can help you. If the mom's living with us and her health has got to a point where we don't have the skills that we need to keep her safe and healthy, move to a community where there are people who are trained that can do that. That's it. As a caregiver, we're not giving up by moving mom to a community. We're just using another tool that's in our tool belt. So it's a long-term care community. And it's not a facility, because we keep things in facilities, but people live in communities. So this is what I've been doing for the past 4 years, is convincing our media, use these words, because aging is not something scary, negative, because we're all doing it. We're all hopefully going to age and age successfully. So let's talk about it in the positives, because there are so many positives to it. Many, many studies have found that people are their happiest over the age of 65. So let's stop talking about it as something that's bad. It's something wonderful. And when we turn 65, we're only at 2/3 of our life. We still got a whole third left to go. And it's a wonderful time. We've got the time to do all the stuff we want to do now. So let me tell you very briefly about Age of Central Texas. As I mentioned, we've been around for almost 40 years. We were founded by leaders in our community, names that you would recognize, like Willie Kosurek, who they were getting older themselves and realized we needed services for older adults. The city had not built the senior resource centers. There were organizations that were starting, but they were kind of scattered to the winds. And so they convinced the state to sell them the old Confederate widow's home that had been sitting empty over in Hyde Park for years. And they renovated into the very first one-stop shop of services for the community, invited all the other organizations to come and be housed there, so that people would come to one place and get all of their services as they were aging. We realized very quickly where there were gaps in services. And so we started creating programs and taking on programs from other organizations. And so today we have 6 major programs over the whole Central Texas area. Our cornerstone is our Thrive Social and Wellness Centers. Our first one started at our center there in Hyde Park. We have another one that's up in Round Rock. And our third one at our new campus, there's the word I'm looking for, down in South Park Meadows, The building is complete. We're just waiting on the city to hook up the water to the building and we can open. So we're very excited about that. These are the longest running adult day health centers in Central Texas. Now, what does that mean? Well, they're licensed with the state. So just like a child's daycare, we are licensed with the state, regulatory oversight, so that as a caregiver, I know mom, dad, husband, and wife are somewhere safe, secure for their day. For our members, it's their social club. We designed it like a social club where they can go and spend the day with other older adults, full day of activities. We provide breakfast and lunch, transportation from home and back. We have gardens at all of our locations. We have a master gardener that comes. We grow veggies and we harvest them and we cook them and have dance parties. We have musicians that come. We exercise every day. It's just a great, fun place to be. So for our members, it is their club they go to Monday through Friday, where they get to be with the other members and have a fun, fulfilling day. For me, the caregiver, it's that safe place with a full-time nurse. All the staff are trained in dementia care. I know mom, dad, husband, wife are somewhere safe, secure, and I don't have to worry about them. I can go to work. I don't have to quit my job. I can go to HEB. I go get my hair cut. I can go sit in the park and feed the ducks. Whatever I need to do, we charge my battery. We have one caregiver I interviewed for a commercial for KXAN. We shot the commercials last week. And her mom goes to the Thrive Center 3 days a week, and then she's at home for two. She said, but we're going to have her go 4 days a week because I don't work on Fridays and neither does my husband. So that's going to be our day. And mom's going to go to the Thrive Center. She likes going there. She's going to go on Fridays, and that's going to be our date day. And I thought, that's awesome. That's exactly what you need to do as a caregiver. And that's why this exists, is to give that caregiver the help. We also have seen that our center helps older adults be able to stay in the home longer to help prolong having to move into a community. We saw that especially during COVID, when we had to close, and we had about 3 months before we could reopen. And when we were able to reopen, we could only bring back members that were higher performing because we had to wear masks. We had to sit 6 feet apart. We had to have members that understand that. 30% of our members either had to move into memory care or passed away because they couldn't come to the center. So we see how this really helps. I mentioned that, you know, the cost is so high for moving into a community. It used to be when someone moved in a community, you know, we kept people at home much longer than we do today because we had the ability to, because we had our nuclear families around us. And also folks didn't live as long. So it used to be when you moved into a community, you would live there about 18 months, maybe 2 years. Today, 7 to 10 years. Think about that cost-wise. Moving to memory care costs about $7,500 a month. Medicare doesn't pay for it. Social Security doesn't pay for it. It's out of pocket. $7,500 for 10 years. No wonder people burn through their money. This is a great way of keeping that from happening. We also have a health equipment lending program. So we give away durable medical equipment to anyone who needs it, no questions asked. If you need a wheelchair, a walker, a shower bench, anything that keeps you mobile and safe and be able to stay in your home safely, we will give it to you for free. If we've got it, you can have it. Flip side of that, we take donations of gently used equipment. So if you've got stuff piled up in the garage you want to get rid of, we'll take it because we know folks who need it. We go through about 3,500 pieces of equipment every year. Never expect to get it back. If we do, great. We'll clean it, repair it, loan it to somebody else. We can also provide incontinence products for older adults as well. So pull-ups, wipes, bed pads, gloves, those types of items, because they're very expensive. And if you're living on a fixed income, many of our folks have to decide, do I go and buy my pills, even at the $5 copay at HEB, or do I buy a box of pull-ups? Because I can't afford both. And that's not right. We want everyone in Central Texas to age with dignity. And that's why we have this program. One of my favorite stories is this lovely lady who lives in Section 8 housing in Austin, in one of the HACA sites, the Housing Authority sites. She had not left her house in almost 3 years because of her incontinence. She was using Viva paper towels and duct tape because that's all she could afford to buy. And someone told her about our organization, and she came over and we immediately got her set up with her monthly supply of pull-ups. I saw her a few weeks later at a big city-wide luncheon for all the folks that lived in the Housing Authority. She was wearing her red dress with her red gloves and her red hat with her rollator that we'd also given her, and she was working every single table in that room. I said, talked to her, and she said, this completely saved my life. She said, I've been able to go to church again for the first time in 2 years. I went to HEB yesterday for the first time in I don't know how long. Something as simple as giving someone a couple of boxes of pull-ups changes their life for the better. That's why we do this. That's our why. Why we do what we do is because everyone deserves dignity, and we want to make sure they have it. We also have a Caregiver U program. It provides education for caregivers. Talked about nobody teaches you how to do that. We do. Donna is one of our Caregiver U class leaders, has been for many years. We teach caregivers the skills they need to be successful in their journey. We have two different curriculum that we use for caregiving, one called Powerful Tools for Caregivers, which is kind of a 101 in caregiving. It's not disease-specific. Talks about how to build that community around you, how to get ready for the caregiving, what do you need to have, how to keep yourself organized. But most importantly, how to take care of yourself, because that is so, so important. The other one we teach is called Savvy Caregiver, and it's disease-specific. It's for those who are caring for the loved one living with dementia, because that's a whole other animal when it comes to caregiving. So we talk about that. We also have a fall prevention class, because 1 out of 4 adults are going to have a fall this year, and most of those don't come back home. Back falls are the number one cause of death and injury in older adults across the U.S., more than any disease, more than anything else. It's that fall. And falls are not inevitable. And so we want to help older adults understand there are ways of preventing them. And if you do have a fall, how to have it safely. It's better to bruise an elbow than to break a hip. So these are really great programs. We have them both in person and virtual. And we offer them year-round all of Central Texas. We have a resource and information center so people can come and call us, come in person, email, we'll Zoom with you, connect the dots to all those resources, how we started, of helping you find the resources so that you can age successfully and so that you can caregive successfully. We help the caregivers in their journey as their journey changes. I use our resource center all the time, because our journey keeps changing, taking care of mom and dad, and nobody taught me how to do all these things. You know, I needed to make sure that mom's money was secure. And so through our resource center, I realized we need to put mom's money in a trust, because that way it's completely protected. Mom wants to give me her home. Well, I didn't know there was such a thing as a ladybird deed, where with one simple piece of paper, upon her death, the home immediately transfers to me without any of the costs associated with it. It only exists in Texas. Things most people don't know about. So as the journey keeps changing, as you're aging, this is a great resource to be prepared for what comes next. And of course, when life throws you a curveball and it's like, hi, this is the hospital in Lubbock. Your mom's here in the emergency room. We have determined that she also has Alzheimer's and we legally can't release her to go back home. You need to drive up here tonight and come get her and take her home with you. Bye. What do you want to do? Call us. We'll get you going. We also do lots of conferences, seminars, workshops throughout the year. We do 6 major conferences across the area, lots of weekend workshops as well. All of them absolutely free. We also have a program for folks who are in the early stages of their memory loss. I mentioned how we used to see gaps in service, and this is one of them that we saw. We had people who would come to our resource center and say, we just came from the neurologist. The neurologist says that I have got early onset of Alzheimer's. They gave me a pamphlet and said, good luck. What do I do? I don't want to sit around and just wait until, the inevitable. I want to do something about this. What do I do? So we were like, we need a program for that. And so it started as an in-person program. Of course, here comes COVID. We had to close all in-person. And then we very quickly switched to virtual and realized, hey, this works pretty good. Not only that, instead of being once a week like we were, because we were at 5 different locations around Central Texas, so we had to move around and you would go to the one closest to you, we can do this Monday through Friday. Not only that, we don't have to just do those who are in the early stages of their memory loss. We can do early stage in the morning, we can do mid stage at lunch, and those who are a little further along, we can do it in the afternoon. So we have this great program designed to help slow cognitive decline. We always knew the program worked. We knew that it would slow cognitive decline. We saw it happen with all the folks who attended. We never had any proof until last year when the College of London studied programs like ours and said, yep, it absolutely works. Here's your stamp, scientific stamp of approval. So we have the only program in Texas scientifically proven to help slow cognitive decline. That's huge. And the fact that it is virtual means anyone anywhere can participate in it Monday through Friday. So that's something fantastic. Also within this program is components built in to help the caregiver. So we have lots of programming for the caregiver, including their own group that meets once a week. So lots of great resources there. And then finally, our brand new center. Isn't it pretty? We are so proud of it. We're really proud of ourselves for actually raising $8 million to build a center during the middle of COVID. So yeah, it's basically done. It's in South Park Meadows, right behind the Target, right off of Slaughter and I-35. We are hoping that we get a certificate of occupancy by the end of November. And when we open, we will have all of our programming there. We will have a Thrive Center licensed for 75. We will basically double the number of people we can serve immediately when we open the door. It was custom designed and by our staff. We told them, if you could have anything you wanted, what would be there? And we just did a pie in the sky. Architect could not figure out why we needed 10 bathrooms circling the perimeter of the bell of the room. But when you're living with dementia and you've got to go, you've got to go now. So within 30 steps of anywhere in the room, there's a bathroom. The carpeting, we made sure that it was designed for those who are living with dementia because patterns in the carpet look like holes in the floor. Most folks who, when you go to visit them in communities, they walk like this. It's because of peripheral visions like this, and they can't see anything in front of their feet. And so that's why they shuffle their feet to make sure they don't trip over something. And that change in the pattern in the carpet, because they don't have depth perception, looks like a hole in the floor. So little things like that in the design of it. The big plate glass windows looking out into the gorgeous courtyards and the gardens. The door is kind of hidden because folks who start sundowning about 3-4 o'clock, it's time to go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go. And they will gather at the door, waiting at the door. If you can't see the door, it's out of sight, out of mind. We're over here doing our programs instead. And don't think about it. I gotta go. Beautiful space, gorgeous space. We'll have our health equipment lending there. We'll have resource center there. We'll have classes there. We'll have conferences there on site. We're very excited about that. We actually have space now to do all that. And then this whole upstairs area has been designed for other nonprofits to come and have their offices there. So once again, it'll be a one-stop shop. Meals on Wheels is going to be there. Family Elder Care will be there. And Alzheimer's Association is going to have offices there. So for everybody who had to be forced into Hays and Bastrop County because they had to move down there, because the only place they could afford to live, move out to Manshack, all those areas where there is nothing in service, we're going to be just minutes away. So we're very excited about that. Our three-point plan, this is built and opened. Next, we're going to work on our central location because it was built in 1906 and held together with duct tape, ghosts, and wire. So it's time to work on it. And then we're going to build another brand new center up in the Williamson County area. We have a day center there, but it's only licensed for 37 because we're landlocked and we rent. We would much rather build a beautiful big center that has all of our programming so that we can further serve in that area because it's exploding as well. So I know I threw the stuff at you. And I appreciate y'all sitting through all of it. Does anybody have any questions about aging here in Central Texas, services that we offer, any insight that you'd like to add? Yes, ma'am.
Do you all have any sort of list that you keep of home caregivers? Do you all have any people that you can recommend or the?
Sure. So the question is, do we have a list of home care programs and people that can come and help? Yes, absolutely, we do. So in our 40-odd years, we work with everybody. And so, yes, we have a lot of great services. And that's one thing that we can really help with because, as you know, there's not just a one-size-fits-all home care. Some of them are, they're just going to come in and, you know, sweep the floors and do the dishes and do the laundry. Some of them are all the way up to full medical care. We need someone who can do wound care and bathing and is bedbound. So it's different levels of care. So we can certainly help with that. I always recommend that you use an actual agency for those things for a number of reasons. Number one, they're bonded and licensed, as opposed to going and hiring someone off a Craigslist. Two, they have insurance on every person that works for them. So if they hurt their back picking that up off the floor, you don't get sued. If you hire someone on your own to come in your house, your insurance, your homeowner's insurance, does not cover them. You have to get a separate insurance policy specifically to cover them. Not only that, they are actually your employee, so you have to file their taxes. You have to report with the IRS on them every year. And it's just a whole big headache. Go through an organization, go through a company instead.
Well, I'm having been through this in various communities across the country, that's all what you said is absolutely true. The downside is that people that work for those agencies and are actually doing the care often are not getting a living wage. And you can, for what you pay the agency, you can afford to pay an individual a living wage or better than a living wage. And people generally, if they're getting paid a living wage, are going to have a better attitude and do a better job.
That is true. The comment was that those who work for agencies often do not get paid a living wage, which is true, which is a drawback to, it is a big problem. We're in the Austin area. Most of our agencies have been working to solve that. Of course, that means to cost more money to hire the person. The other drawback to hiring your own person is if they get sick, if they move, something happens, there's no backup. And when you're working with an agency, they automatically will supply a backup. So, yes, we do have the ability to help you find those resources, and we'll do that in a heartbeat. Yes, ma'am.
So I'm thinking about this, and we have in-laws who are not in Central Texas. I'm thinking, oh my God, I'd love to be able to provide some of these opportunities when they live someplace else. Do you have partners, connections? Can you put us in touch with people in Arizona or Oklahoma or some other place?
Sure.
That provide some of these same kind of services?
Sure. So the question is, we're living here, mom and dad are in another city. Is there an age up there in other places? No, we're homegrown. So we're here in Central Texas. However, I mentioned before the Area Agency on Aging. There is an area agency on aging in every major city of the U.S. So you can just Google area agency on aging and the city or the zip code, and it'll tell you which one is there. So the Area Agency on Aging is the pass-through money of the Older Americans Act. They were established back in the 70s, all over the area, with the idea that in every major city is one charged with serving the surrounding area. The one here in Austin serves 10 counties. And the idea is that every square inch of the U.S. is served by one, at least one. And they do a lot of the same things that we do. They have the resource center, so they can help connect the dots with all of those things. They can help pay for respite programs. Because they're federal money, they can do a few things that we can't afford to do, like we need to go on a vacation or go for the daughter's wedding, or we just need to get away because we haven't been able to do anything except take care of mom for all these years. They will pay for mom to go to a community for a couple of weeks so that you can have, like, they will pay for someone to come in the house and help out to give you a break. If you need to build on the house because now mom's in a wheelchair, we can't get up down the stairs, they'll pay for that. Our grandma's in the bathroom, things like that. So they've got the ability to do a few things that we can't. They also offer education programming as well. Some of them will also offer stipends. So, you know, we would love for mom to go to a day program, but we can't afford it. They can help fund it because it's, number one, it's federal money, and number two, it's your tax money you already pay for. So take advantage of it because it's absolutely free. So that's always a great resource. That's a great place to start because they can help you connect the dots to everything that's in that community. Yes, ma'am.
Does your organization have recommendations of companies that install chair lifts on chair lifts and
walkers? Yes, so the question is, do we have recommendations for companies that can do renovations in the home, specifically with chair lifts, other things like that? We do. We've got folks that we've worked with in the past, so we can help point you towards the ones that can help you out. All right. I know that we are right about on time, aren't we? We go a little bit over. Right about spot. Time for service?
Yep.
All right. Thank you all so much for letting me come visit with you this morning. I truly appreciate it.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.